Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. What would society look like where Christians are considered terrorists and the Bible has been outlawed? The End Begins, the first book in Sarah Davison's new The Seven Trilogy, suggests that plot line in this romantic thriller. Sarah's on the phone with us from her home in Orillia, Ontario, to talk about The End Begins in a few moments. But first, before we begin our conversation with Sarah, let's take a listen to Carried Away from Charlene Olson's CD, Misfits and Moonbeams. And now to our interview with Sarah Davison. Good evening, Sarah.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, I know it's been a while since we've talked on Arts Connection, so before we get into The End Begins, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. What got you started into writing?
Well, of course, I've been an avid book reader my whole life. In all our family photos, you can always see everybody doing all kinds of activities, and I'm always in the back in the chair with my nose in a book. So always lived at the library and read, and so I always enjoyed writing. It probably started with like a diary. I can kind of remember keeping a diary in a tree house at our place, and kind of advanced from there to just writing short stories. And I remember we took a trip in grade four, and when we came back, our teacher asked us to do a write-up about it, and I did one, which got chosen to go in the school newsletter, and I just remember, I can still remember seeing my words in print and what an impact that had on me. And I just kind of knew from that moment on, I think, that that's what I wanted to do.
So what led you from that first published piece in your school newspaper to the point where now this is, The End Begins is your second novel that's been published? What's the journey been like to get you to where you are now?
Long. It's been a long journey. I always wanted to write a book. Again, I remember as a kid being in the library, I can still remember one day just kind of walking up and down the aisles and looking at all the books and thinking, you know, all these people have written a book, I can do it. But, of course, I always found the idea of actually sitting down and doing it really daunting. And then one day, I think it was about 7 years ago, I was sitting in church one Easter Sunday morning, it was, and just this whole idea for a book, for a story came to me. And went home and wrote it out fairly quickly and, you know, thought it was pretty good and then started into showing it to people and realizing then how much I did not know. But so it's just that started a really long journey of just learning everything I could learn at every opportunity and getting all kinds of feedback and writing and rewriting and polishing, and that led to my first book, The Watcher, and it's kind of gone from there.
Well, speaking of The Watcher, and I should probably mention this in the interest of disclosure, both you and I submitted our manuscripts to the Word Alive Press Writers Contest that year. You ended up winning, The Watcher ended up winning the fiction category, and my book Chasing the Wind on Ecclesiastes won the nonfiction category. What was it like for you as you got into that aspect of having a published book? What did it like? What was the first thing that went through your mind when you got, you know, the box of books and opened them up and saw your book actually there in print form?
Well, I think it's sort of an equal amount of excitement and terror. I mean, as a writer, you write for a purpose, right? And the purpose is to have your writing read. And until it's read, you sort of haven't completed the process. So there's a tremendous excitement on my part, thinking that finally the story is going to be read by people, and that's, of course, immediately followed by terror that it's going to be read by people. So, yeah, definitely an equal mix of excitement and terror, but it's been an amazing journey.
Well, speaking of that excitement and terror, I mean, the genre that you write in, both The Watcher and Now the End Begins and the Seven Trilogy, are in that sort of suspense genre. What is it about that genre that attracts you and leads you to write that type of book?
Yeah, I write strictly romantic suspense, and I think that's just, I never really made a conscious decision that that's what I was going to do, but I think that's the kind of book I always read. Of course, a romantic storyline is always appealing, but I also really like the suspense aspect, and just that, you know, being gripped from the first page and wondering what's going to happen and if they're going to survive. And so I love that equally, that anticipation of how the characters are going to work out, you know, the situations that they're in.
Well, looking at that, was there anything in your experience with The Watcher that kind of helped you as you started working on The End Begins?
In terms of the writing?
In terms of the writing and even in terms of that whole publishing experience as well.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot. It was a very different experience this time. I published The End Begins with an American company, Ashbury Lane. And so it's quite a different experience. Of course, being the winner with Word Alive was an amazing experience, and they were just wonderful to work with. But I feel like because that was almost 5 years ago, that I've learned quite a lot too along the way. So it did help for sure. It helped me to just sort of begin to understand the publishing process, and of course the huge task that comes after that, which is the promotion and the marketing, which is not my strength and isn't most writers' strength. But I think it's just been a process of, you know, that really did help me to learn and to just begin to understand what the business was like, and that's helped me now with this new book.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and with our guest author, Sarah Davison, and talk specifically about The End Begins. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Well, it's a warm night. Why don't we take a drive? We'll roll the windows down and let the breeze inside. Too much thinking, not enough living. Too much fretting is a dull girl in the making. We're gonna hey diddle diddle to the banjo's tune, the cat and the fiddle, the dish and the spoon. The little dog laughed, it was so much fun, and the cow jumped over the moon, over the moon. Let's drive over the moon, over the moon. Let's drive over the moon. Forget your worries, and all your hurries. Spin round and round to the starry-eyed sound. We're gonna hey diddle diddle to the banjos too, the cat and the fiddle, the dish and
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Over the Moon from the Misfits and Moonbeam CD by Charlene Olson. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Sarah Davison. Sarah, where did the whole idea for The End Begins come from?
Oh, it was kind of funny. I really think that I would have been the last person to have written a story that kind of has an end times feel to it, because I grew up, you know, with those movies that were really popular, like Thief in the Night and Mark of the Beast, and those kind of things just always really freaked me out, and I didn't really want to have that much to do with end time stuff. But then probably about 3 years ago now, I participated in a study at our church that our pastor was leading on Revelation, and that just planted the seeds, and I started to realize that, you know, what a powerful book that is, and it's so full of hope as well, and so that just kind of planted the seeds for a story that was, you know, does portray that these times are uncertain and easy to be afraid, but that we also need to have hope because we know that Christ triumphs in the end.
Well, can you give our listeners a little bit about a little bit of an idea of what the plot is? And again, we don't want to give any way spoilers because this is a suspense, and that might ruin the suspense. But can you give us a little bit about what the story itself is about?
Sure. So it's set just a little bit in the future, about 40 years in the future in Canada. It begins with a terrorist attack in Canada on 7 mosques across the country. And it turns out that it's a radical Christian group that claims responsibility. And so as a result, the army moves in and martial law is declared. And Captain Jesse Christensen comes to Kingston, Ontario, and his assignment is to keep an eye on the Christians. And he meets Marin O'Reilly there, a Christian woman. And so it's them sort of figuring out how to overcome the barriers between them, pardon me, to find out if they can be together. And it's also Jesse just figuring out what these Christians are and what they stand for. And the shows that times have become very difficult for Christians, but how they work through what's happening.
Well, one of the things I found gripping about the plot was the character and the character development about the book, was that whole aspect of the character development. What kind of walk us through your process as you're developing the characters themselves, especially as when you're starting in that starting out process?
Well, writers tend to sort of put themselves in a couple of categories as pantsers or plotters. Plotters really, they just do put so much work and research in before they even began, and they tend to have all their characters completely outlined and their backgrounds all laid out. And pantsers just kind of, you know, wing things as they come along. And so I kind of put myself in the middle of those two. I don't really do a whole lot of laying out my whole character or background or anything before I write, but I just find as I write that's how the character develops for me, and I work in some background, and they just kind of develop in my mind as I write.
Well, one of the things I've heard some writers talk about, whether they're plotters or pantsers, and the whole term pantsers comes from, you know, someone who flies by the seat of their pants as they're writing. But whether they're plotters or pantsers, that as they're writing, they often find that the characters take on a life of their own. And that all of a sudden you'll find that the character is doing something that even you as the writer wouldn't expect. Did you find that happening yourself as you were writing The End Begins?
Oh, yeah, I find that all the time. And I think that has to do with the fact that I don't have them carefully laid out in my mind, which I kind of like. I like the fact that they can develop themselves, and I and not only the characters, but of course the whole storyline does that to a certain extent. I always have sort of a vague idea of where I'm going, or maybe a little more than vague, but definitely the story will often develop in ways that I didn't see, and it just keeps it really interesting for me too, I think.
Do you ever find that when you're doing that, that even changes the ending as to, you know, most writers often have a beginning and an ending at least, or an idea of where the ending is. Did you find that even happens, that it changes your ending?
It has happened. Typically, I do know where I'm going. I like to know the beginning and I like to know the end. It's the middle part where I can be sort of a lot more flexible. So, I've made sort of minor adaptations to the ending, but I don't think I've ever completely changed in any. I usually pretty much know where I'm going when I start.
Now, one of the things about The End Begins is this is actually the first book in a trilogy. How did you decide that you were going to do this story as a trilogy?
That's a good question. I don't even remember making a conscious decision. I don't always know. I mean, I always know that the story is coming from God. It's not coming from me. I'm very aware of that as I'm writing the story, and it's a very spiritual experience for me. And so I think even the three titles for the books just came to me, and then sort of three distinct storylines came, and so it just naturally became a trilogy.
Well, can you give us a little bit of an idea of what books 2 and 3 are going to be like?
Sure. So book 2 is called The Dragon Roars. And things will become increasingly difficult for the Christians. Don't want to give away anything too much, but Jesse and Marin continue to work out their relationship. And then there's a big explosive secret at the end that threatens to drive them apart, which I'm not going to tell you what it is. Book 3 is called The Morning Star Rises. And again, things have gotten even more bleak for the Christians, but the tone of the book, I think, will be one of triumph, because, there is a lot of hope in the book of Revelation, that while things are difficult, we know God is in control, and he's sovereign, and he has a plan, and in the end, he will triumph. So that will be the tone of that book.
And looking at that, whereabouts in the writing process are you with them? Have you gotten to the point where you're writing the second and third books, or like walk us through where you're at?
Sure. Book 2 has been submitted, and we've just started the editing process on that one, so it's done. Book 3, I've just started in on the writing, so I'm hoping to participate in NaNoWriMo and get a lot of it done through that. It's pretty much in my head, and I've got lots of notes, but just have to sit down and write it. So book 2 will come out in April, and book 3 in October.
So book 2 is April 2016, and then book 3 is October 2016.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned NaNoWriMo, and for those of our listeners who are not part of that world, can you explain what NaNoWriMo is and what the whole object of that is?
Sure. So it's short for National Novel Writing Month, which takes place in November every year. It's become kind of an international event. You can just Google National Novel Writing Month or NaNoWriMo, it'll come up, and it's easy to just register for it. The point of it is to try and write 50,000 words in the month of November on a novel, and then you can have buddies and encourage each other, and it's just a really great way to get a lot of writing done in a short amount of time.
And I took part in that a couple of years ago as I was working on a novel as well, and the aspect of having that challenge, because they also break it down into writing so many words per day, giving yourself, little rewards, like, you know, if you've written, 500 words before lunch, having something special and things like that. Did you find when you did NaNoWriMo before that this really helped you in your writing process and giving you that goal orientation that sometimes writers need?
Yeah, it's definitely helped me. I think the biggest way that it helps me is that I give myself permission for the month to just write. Clear my schedule of pretty much everything else. I try to, remember that I have a family, take care of them. But otherwise, I just write. And I find, between setting the goals and the rewards, and the big thing I find is the buddies and how we, encourage each other and are accountable to each other. It's amazing what you can get done. The last time I did it, I did about 77,000 words, pretty much wrote a whole book. So, yeah, it's really a valuable thing if you have a book that needs to get written.
Well, I want to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish up our conversation with author Sarah Davison. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Misfits and Moonbeams, the title track from the Misfits and Moonbeams CD by Charlene Olson. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with author Sarah Davison. Sarah, you just had a book launch for The End Begins recently. What's been the reaction to the book?
I've actually had really good feedback. I think, when I first started writing the book about 3 years ago, I even thought that a lot of it was kind of far-fetched, but to be honest, in those 3 years, things have changed, and I've had a lot of people say that it just feels like what happens in the book could just be in the news these days. It seems to be very relevant and timely, and so hopefully in a time where we can sort of see some of our freedoms like religion and speech kind of eroding, hopefully this book will offer some hope that God's still in control and that this is all according to his plan.
Have you found people have been sort of resonating with one or more of the heroes, like they can see themselves in Marilyn, they can see themselves in Jesse, they can see themselves in you know, one or two of the other characters that you've written, and how do they react to that?
Yeah, I get a lot of that. I think Jesse, a lot of people can relate to him because he grew up in a Christian home but kind of walked away from his faith. And so he really has to struggle with, you know, is there a God, and could he really care about me, or is he actually in control because everything seems so out of control? And, you know, those are just things that we all wrestle with, really. And Marin, of course, her issues are more, you know, how much am I willing to pay? And you know, when I'm really, truly tested, will I be able to stand for my faith and be bold and have courage? So I think those are things that all of us wrestle with, and stuff. A lot of people tell me that they really can relate to the characters.
Especially, I think, in terms of when you see some of the things that are happening in Canadian society and the way some Christians are being marginalized, that becomes more and more an idea of how much am I willing to risk in order to really be a witness for my faith. Where can people find out more about The End Begins?
Well, the book is available in paperback and e-form. Basically, you can order anywhere you order books, or it's online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Chapters, anywhere you order books, it's available.
Have you thought beyond the Seven trilogy as to what you're going to do next?
That's a good question. I actually have a two-book series that I have written, but is not published yet. So I'm hoping, again, just writing this trilogy, I've learned more and hopefully developed more as a writer. So I'd like to go back and polish those up and hopefully get them published. Beyond that, I don't have anything in mind, but I always find, you know, God provides the stories. If he's got a story for me to write, then mm-hmm. he will give it to me and I'll write it.
Great. Well, Sarah, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Robert. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Sarah Davison. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @Salot13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.